Oh, how important is the truth embodied in this lesson. Now, from a study of the emotions, you will come to the conclusion that love embodies all the creative principles, and that the creative principles are classifiable under the positive element love. These principles preserve your body intact. Now, when you think of it, you will find that all the principles known to science, to architecture, to engineering, and so on, are based on the law of love. Did you hear that? When you think of it, you will see that all the principles known to science, to architecture, to engineering, to finance, to all kinds of things that we say around about us, are based on this law of love. The principles are in operation everywhere around us all the time. Principles known to science are in operation constantly, and underlying the whole material universe, the laws of beauty, strength, order, peace, and so on, are the principles upon which everything rests. We can use these creative principles and use them constructively if we so desire. Now, my beloved, as I pointed out to you in your last lesson, in your meditations, you are inducing these principles from the hidden depths of the creative spirit within you into your conscious mind. And these principles may be established consciously in your conscious mind by persistent meditation. It is inevitable. Then, you are no longer fooled by the illusion of the senses, for you shall know who and what you are, and so will every other breathing human being. Now let me re-emphasize that. In your meditations, you induce these principles from the hidden depths of the creative spirit within you into your conscious mind. It is as if you use a magnet, and the magnet can only magnetize. And as these principles are magnetized, they become established consciously in the conscious mind by persistent meditation. Then we are no longer fooled by the illusion of the senses, for we shall know who and what we are. Therefore, my beloved, this week, be your own self-analyst. This week, I invite you to examine yourself, to discover your permanent moods. You will be surprised. You will doubtless, like most people, find that you are dominated, unfortunately, by some phase of fear. Of such people, we say that they are gloomy, despondent, serious, apprehensive, worrying, and so on. And if such people happen to be happy, cheerful, joyous, why, it's a lapse from their permanent mood. We have, therefore, to reverse our moods as we have reversed our thinking, so that some aspects of the love emotions dominate, like cheerfulness, gladness, hopefulness, and so on. We shall then declare the truth that we are cultivating a happy disposition, a happy mood. Therefore, as we reverse our thinking, so indeed do we reverse our emotions. And of course, it would be idle for me to advise you to cooperate with the creative principles. Now, by this means, thus cooperating with the creative principles, we eliminate the destruction wrought within us by disintegrating emotions. Now, it is unnecessary, I'm quite sure, for me to point out to you that the negative emotions are destructive. Negative emotions cause sickness, senility, disease, decay, old age, failure, cowardice. So venomous are these negative emotions that the death of an infant has been traced to poison generated by anger in its mother's milk. Perspiration of a human being can be suddenly changed and charged with venom, and such perspiration fed to rats has caused their death. There is a mass of medical evidence along this line, all caused by anger or fear. Now you see, therefore, my beloved, we are now bringing before us the manner in which we may be able to preserve the temple of the living God, my body, by consciously cooperating with the principles existing within us and establishing them in our subconscious mind, by making these principles our permanent moods, we conserve the life energies. Then, through meditation, we find that we can direct them into constructive channels and so avoid the factors of disintegration. My beloved, this is true. This is the truth that makes us free. Now, there is one phase of mental physics into which I am sure you will grow as the years go by. That will have to do with the power of your own speech. The power of speech is the power of life. The power of speech is the power of life. Your sound is your life. Though later on you will come to know that the power that is greater than sound is soundlessness, for you cannot know the latter until you know the former. Now I charge you, during these most important days, to begin to take great care in your speech. Use the best words that you can. Extend your vocabulary. Live in a world of words. Try to so order your speech that every word that you say shall be the highest truth that you know. Do not use slang. Take no name in vain. Remember that you are learning that your right speech is the forerunner of your right conduct. And though this is somewhat advanced and cannot yet be understood, perhaps, carry out my instructions, and you will find that by carefully watching your speech, the action of your life will become purified. During this week, then, pay particular attention to what you say and how you say it. Sound is the second emanation of life. If you have ever seen a child born, you know that it first takes a breath, and then it sends out a great sound. And from this moment of the launching of the human being until its last breath, its life is a question of breath, physical, but leading him into a much deeper esoteric meaning, and sound, also leading into the higher esoteric meaning of silence. But you will learn much more about this later. Meantime, do as you are asked to do. Have no tongue unless you know that you have something to say. For nothing can fritter away the power of your life more than useless sound. Words, words, words that have no meaning and no power. The word is the power of life. The word of God is made flesh within you. Now, my beloved, with regard to your breathings, you have by this time mastered the technique so that you can go through them in a much shorter time than when you started. I would advise you that you must continue them, though if you feel that you have sufficiently advanced towards proficiency, you may during this week and next week breathe one morning and not the next morning. Though on the mornings that you do not breathe, you ought to sit still and go through your breathings in your mind in silence. That is, quietly still within. Feel in your mind that you are breathing physically. Feel the exhalation, the inhalation, the movement of the body and the breath, then the exhalation, then the relaxation and spiritual work. This will teach you to feel the pranic power without having to physically generate it. This is of the utmost importance for your more advanced work. Do not neglect these instructions. And my beloved, try this week, happily, to think out the meaning, the inner meaning of these words. Have no tongue. We shall have more to say about this later. And my beloved, as I leave you now, I would like to talk to you in absolute honesty. What availeth it if we learn all these things and do not use them? You have learned much. Since coming into mental physics, you have so ordered your life that looking back, perhaps you scarcely recognize yourself as the same person that you were. So far, so good. You have come into the knowledge that you are God in human form. And you have, so far as your own life is concerned, made the law work, meaning that you have, through practice, come to feel the way to lose yourself in the law and let it work through you. That is good. You have come to the point where you enjoy better health. You are happier. You are filled with the unweighable riches of life in a manner that causes you constantly to stand reverently before the law and give thanks. All that is good. Now I am the same. Looking backwards, I cannot understand why life itself has so blessed me. My life has altogether changed. I am a different person from what I used to be. I know more, I am more, I do more. I have more. All because I have, to some degree, learned how to submerge the personality. Because I have ceased to be the warrior. Because I have come to see the wisdom of losing myself to find myself. But, listen, what have I done for others? I confess to you that as I review my own life, I realize, while it is clear to me that the only way in which I can truly help myself is in helping my fellow men, what have I done for others? Have you the courage to ask yourself that question? What have you done for others? In the midst of all the blessings and the very glory of life, which life itself has brought you, how have you shared it with others? My beloved, the only way is to spread the light. Let us live for other people. Let us sacrifice for others. Let us know that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Let us know that in very truth we are the father, mother of the universe. We have our part to play. And so, let us this week hold our heads high and feel our hearts singing out the great jubilati of the truth of us, that we are the custodians of the human race. Fully, we do not yet know it, but we are on our way. And so, my beloved, as I leave you, I wish you peace. May it be a week of joy and love and beauty, and may you enter into and fully find that peace that passes knowledge.